One of the shows I have to watch this time of year is, and maybe you do too, is The Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown. It's a Halloween classic, and you probably know it or have heard of it, or somehow it's been around forever. In this Halloween classic, The Great Pumpkin, Linus, which is Charlie Brown's best friend and his blanket, and Sally, Charlie Brown's sister, are camping out in a pumpkin patch in order to await the arrival of the Great Pumpkin, which is Halloween's version of Santa Claus. Now, according to Linus, sincerity is what the Great Pumpkin is looking for in a pumpkin patch. Each year, says Linus, the Great Pumpkin rises out of the pumpkin patch that he thinks is the most sincere. And then looking out upon his own pumpkin patch, Linus says, I don't see how any pumpkin patch can be more sincere than this one. You can look around and there's no sign of hypocrisy. Nothing but sincerity as far as the eye can see. What Linus doesn't tell us is what an insincere or hypocritical pumpkin patch might look like, and what that looks like, I have no idea. But in our reading from Amos, the Old Testament prophet, we get a pretty good idea of what a hypocritical and what an insincere believer looks like. Because Amos is preaching his message to a people who are anything but sincere in their faith. On the one hand, the people he's preaching to are God's chosen people. They are the ones that God has selected to be his people. He calls them his child, and he calls himself their father, and they confess faith in the one true God. But their faith really is only lip service. Because on the other hand, they're worshiping pagan gods. They're making idols. They even are employing temple prostitutes in the places of worship. Now, let that sink in for a moment. Part of their worship includes prostitution. And even worse is that they have set up these places right next to the places where they are worshiping the one true God. To say they are insincere is putting it lightly. They are truly hypocritical in their faith. But they aren't simply just abusing their relationship with the Lord who has called him his people. Their abuses and their insincerity in faith is spilling over into how they are treating their neighbors. The rich are trampling upon the poor. The legal and court system has become completely corrupt. Even the merchants who come in are cheating everyone they possibly can. There is no honesty. There is no integrity. Everything is broken. And so the Lord, speaking through the prophet Amos, does not mince words. He tells his people, I despise your festivals. I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the offerings of well-being of your fatted animals, I will not look upon. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will listen to the melody of your harps no longer. This would be like God saying to us now, I despise what you do on Sunday morning. This would be like God saying, I take no joy in the songs of your celebrate, in the songs of your green hymnal, in the songs of your red hymnal. Take away from me your organ, throw away your guitar, I despise them all. This would be like God saying to us, even what you are putting in the offering plate on Sunday morning, I don't care how much it is, I hate it. I do not accept it. The very worship that the Lord God commanded his people to bring to him is a worship that the Lord says he hates. And it's because the lives of these people and the worship they bring to God is laced with hypocrisy and insincerity. When they come before the Lord, they come with no confession of sin. They don't come as people repentant of their wrongs. They are not fueled in their faith by thanksgiving, by love, by appreciation for what God has done for them. Their worship is empty. Instead, they continue to do the sacrifices, they continue to do the festivals and their commanded worship simply because it's what you do. It's the thing that you're supposed to do, and they do it because they think if they do that, then God will continue to give them good things. It's a formula to be followed. Their worship has become something more like a superstition. Something you do in order to ensure that I'm going to be prosperous. And the worst part is it's the same worship that they're giving to other gods. They look out upon all the gods that might be available to them and they say, well, this god blesses families and giving them children, so I'm going to go worship at this god today. And then that god over there is the one that ensures that I get good crops, so I'm going to go over there today and make sure that my fields are plentiful. And oh yeah, I'm supposed to go over and worship at this Lord too and do my due diligence. None of it is honest and true. It is full of hypocrisy and insincerity. It is only skin deep. And so what does the Lord want instead of their false, hypocritical worship? He wants for justice to roll on like a never-ending fount of water, to be like a stream that has no end. He doesn't want it to be something you can turn off and on like a tap, but to just be there always. He wants righteousness to roll like a constant source of water, like a steady flowing stream. The Lord wants in his people a humility, sincerity in their faith. One that approaches the Lord in an attitude of repentance and love and just a desire for God's blessings, which is forgiveness, provision. And then he wants in them to have this faith that then spills over into how they treat their neighbors. He wants their faith to be evident, not just on the Sabbath or the Sunday morning, but to be evident in their everyday actions, to be evident in how they care for their neighbors, how they ensure that justice is being done for the poor, that the poor are fed and clothed. The Lord wants that honesty would be automatic in business and in courts, that neighbors would be well spoken for, even prayed for instead of gossiped over, that a neighbor would be defended and looked after. Because this is the sign of a heart that truly has faith in the Lord, a sincere faith and a sincere belief and a trust in what God has for you. This is a heart that gives much to a neighbor is one that understands that it has received far more from what the Lord has given to them. True faith like this is one that the Lord will then receive and accept worship from. And so the question we ask ourselves this morning from the prophet Amos is, are we sincere in our faith? When I leave this building after worship, does my faith come with me? Do I wear it as though it's my everyday clothing? Do my neighbors see it? Do my kids see it? Do they understand that at work, yeah, this is a believer in Jesus Christ? And then when I come back on the next Sunday morning, do I come back and approach the Lord thankful that where my sincerity has lacked, God has forgiveness. God has love. God has mercy and grace. Am I sincere in my faith? The beauty of our worship on a Sunday morning is that when we do come into this building, we ultimately come to receive far more than what we give. And what we do have to give is really minuscule compared to what the Lord blesses us with. Each and every Sunday, the Lord yearns for you to come into this room bringing all your junk from the week, every little sin, every little turmoil and trouble and angst that you have. The Lord yearns for you to bring that in and openly bring it to Him, to lay it at His altar. Because the Lord loves nothing more than to give you His forgiveness. He's dying to give it to you because He died to give it to you. Are we sincere in our faith? In the Gospel of Mark, a man comes to Jesus and his son has real issues with health, and he comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, if you are able, will you please heal my son? And Jesus says to him, if I am able? All things are possible for everyone who believes. And then the father says, I believe. Help my unbelief. That's our prayer as we come into worship. Lord, I desire to be sincere in my faith. I desire to bring it outside of these doors. I desire this so much. I know I fail so often. Help. Help my insincerity. Let us pray. Oh, gracious Lord, we give you thanks for the death of your Son, Jesus Christ, his resurrection, his ascension, and the outpouring of your Spirit upon believers and people all over this world. We pray, O Lord, that each and every day you would give us a heart of thanksgiving for what you have done for us, that we would continue to come to you in repentance and continue to know that you have forgiveness. Help, O Lord. We sincerely believe. Help us in our unbelief. We pray this in your name. Amen.